quantum physics to create the life you want. Natalie, who holds a PhD in psychology and has studied quantum physics for her doctoral program, is known as the quantum psychologist. She has a private practice where she incorporates 30 years' experience in psychology, coaching, meditation, and the mind-body connection. Welcome to the program, Natalie.
Thank you, Mike, very much.
I think a good place to start is to ask you, how did you come to get into this type of subject?
Well, that's a great question. I had been studying, as you mentioned already, the mind-body connection and meditation and visualization and that type of thing for 30 years. And about maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I heard about quantum physics in a workshop, and I thought it was very cool that it seemed to make sense to me. And I kind of pretty much forgot about it until the movie What the Bleep Do We Know came out a few years ago. And I liked the movie, but in a way I felt it was a little bit of a tease because it didn't really show you how to use the secrets. And when I went to find a book to send my sister, actually, to tell her about how to use the secrets, I couldn't find anything. Maybe they were out there, but I couldn't find them. So I decided to write one, and that's when I started earnestly studying it and getting more acquainted with the details of quantum physics.
Yeah. So what were you in before you came across quantum physics? What were you doing then?
Well, just working, actually not doing terribly much different from what I'm doing now, except quantum physics, to me and many others, quantum physics proves why it works to visualize, why it matters to think positively, why it's not so good to think negatively. I mean, it's proof of why you want to do this. So my practice is not terribly different, but I can ground it in the science now.
I see, yes. And I think a pressing question here for a lot of people, including myself, is what is quantum physics?
Yeah, that is a great question. And most people, when they hear it, they think quantum physics, oh, no, I can't understand that. That's way over my head. I mean, that's what it sounds like. The word physics just puts you over the top. But actually,
yeah.
it's actually very, very simple at the level that I'm dealing with it. Now, the quantum physicists would show you that it's not simple, but they do a lot of mathematical calculations, and they use statistics. Probability models, I don't do any of that stuff. I'm talking about the basic principles of quantum physics, which are very easy and anyone can understand them. One of the basic principles, for example, is that you cannot... first of all, quantum physics is just the study of movement inside the atom. And it's the same atom we studied in school with the electrons and the neutrons and the protons. But also inside the atom, there's actually a whole host of other entities that are very tiny. The human cannot see an atom, so therefore we really can't see the subatomic particles that are inside it. But we can account for their movement through some complicated mathematical calculations, but we don't have to worry about that because in my book, for example, there's no math because math is not really my thing. But the basic principles... one of the first principles is what's called the Heisenberg principle, and it is that you cannot observe anything in quantum physics, and they call it the quantum, in the world of subatomic particles without changing it. So when you think about this, it's very unusual. If you measure the location, if you find the location of an electron, for example, you will not be able to tell its force, its momentum, its energy, how fast it's going. If you know how fast it's going, you can't tell where it is. So that already is very strange, right?
Yes, yes.
That's not like a car, but you know where it is and how fast it's going. It's not like anything on our world. And then the other thing is that there is one of the basic principles is that if you don't watch a certain experiment, the subatomic particles behave like waves of energy, like invisible waves like sound. You know, sound is, we all know that that's waves because we've heard that all our lives. And, of course, sound is invisible. Well, that's how these subatomic particles behave when you run the experiment and you don't watch the results while it's happening. If you run the same experiment and you observe during the experiment, the subatomic particles behave like particles, a little piece of matter, something of substance, not a wave, but a physical piece of something. So what that means, Mike, is what we focus on in our world, in our life, is what materializes. If we don't pay attention to it, it's not there. It's just an invisible wave of energy. But once we really put our focus on something, we actually change it at the subatomic level, and it materializes as a thing in our life, such as a job or a new car or whatever we want.
Is this possibly why some young people seem to be very focused from a very early age on what they want to do in life? I'm not saying they always achieve it. Perhaps they change their mind. But one tends to read so many stories of people that have successfully reached what they had in mind, and you hear that it's been there for years, and they've just set their mind on it so strongly, you feel they were always going to get there.
Yes, I do absolutely believe if you want something, you want to focus on it. And I know what you're talking about. I've read some of those articles. A lot of actors, you read about actors or musicians,
yes,
and they say, when I was four, I knew this is what I wanted to do.
Yes.
And it's just, it's what you focus, whatever you focus on is what you get. So people who want to focus on the negative, and everything's always wrong, everything is always going to be wrong, because they're focusing, what you get what you focus on. So if you're going to focus on the dark side and you're going to look at everything that's wrong, you'll have plenty to talk about, because you'll always generate more and more negative things. And, of course, conversely, if you want to talk about the positive things and the things where you had these wonderful little miracles, you go to the store to get something, and every time you go, whatever you want is on sale, or, you know, they always have your stuff, or you run into people, you know, everything's more positive, that's going to happen too. It's all you. My first step in my book is about taking responsibility, and that you have to own that it is all you, and when you can own that it's all you, then you can change it. And by focusing on the positive, you're going to generate that success that you're looking for.
Yes. I suppose the X factor in this is that even if you focus on something, in your mind you haven't any idea when it will materialize. So is there what we would call a law of attraction involved in this?
You know, I know that law of attraction thing from the movie The Secret, but I don't actually, it's not in quantum physics, there is no law of attraction. So I don't really use that, but I sort of have the prequel and the sequel to The Secret, because what they do in The Secret is what I do in my step number four, but I have three steps before and one step after. The thing that gets in the way of just thinking positively and having your life turn out just gorgeous and everything works out beautifully, it doesn't really work that way, because the way people create their lives is through our subconscious minds, and we can't be aware of what's in our subconscious mind. So what my book is about and how I work with people, I help them figure out some issues that are in the way of getting what they want. For example, one of the, and I don't know if your listeners are familiar with the term beliefs, but a belief is an idea that you're holding as absolutely true. You feel absolutely certain that this is true. And it's a belief about yourself, an idea about yourself. For example, people who say, I can't do math, or, you know, I can't play an instrument, or whatever it is. And, you know, you're convinced of this. I mean, nobody could convince you otherwise. It's like a very, very strong belief. You hold it as a truth. Well, if you have that in your subconscious mind, and you're not necessarily aware of it, you will not be able to create anything, even if you focus on it, because a belief will prohibit it. Belief acts as a blockage, and it will not allow you. So you could be focusing, you know, day and night, and you still won't get it if you don't change that belief. But you can just change the belief, and then you can have what you want. But it's all a step-by-step process to recognize that you've got something in the way, And for people, your listeners, who have been working for a long time to get something and they just haven't been able to manifest it, it doesn't seem to really happen for them, they probably have a belief that's conflicting. And the beliefs are there to help us, they're there to protect us, but sometimes they're not in line anymore with what we want. So that's a time when you want to examine them and then change them.
Yes. Now, let's take something that would interest people if they thought they could get what they want by focusing on it. How does that apply to another person in the sense, say that I adore a beautiful girl, and I think to myself, when I grow up, because let's assume we're young children, for example, I'm going to marry that girl, and it's always in your mind that you're going to do this. So what happens if it isn't reciprocated on the other side?
Well, it's funny, sometimes, and that's kind of an unusual example, although somebody told me, and I actually haven't read the story, but somebody told me that Katie Holmes knew she was going to marry Tom Cruise when she was very young.
Really?
Because he's older than her, and she knew of him, and she said, I'm going to marry him. She didn't know him. She wasn't an actress when she said this. Mm. So, in this case, now there can be other factors working their way in there, and I believe that people actually have already chosen their partners before this lifetime. So that's a whole nother interview. But in terms of, see, everybody has their own worlds. One of the theories in quantum physics is called the many worlds theory that Hugh Everett put forth. And that theory is that every time there's an experiment and we get one result, he feels that in another dimension, the other result takes place. There's different worlds where these other dimensions, where the other...
Yes.
So if you extrapolate that out, each person actually has their own world, their own reality, because
yes,
your world is very different from mine. You know, we have no people in common, really, and, you know, you're in a different part of the world. So we really have a whole different world. And in your world, for example, you could be, say, close friends with Tom Cruise, and in my world, I could be close friends with Tom Cruise. So there's no real overlap. So each person, the person you decided you were going to marry when you were young, even if they didn't like you, in your world they could like you and you could be married, and in their world they would be married to somebody else.
Yes, yes. Now I will take up on a point you raised there, because I think a large majority of the listeners would be quite able to accept the idea of reincarnation, which I think you're referring to.
Yes.
When you say that we may have made this decision as to who we're going to mate up with before we come into life.
Yes.
Fine.
Well, the majority of people in the world believe in reincarnation.
I don't know that for a fact. I hope they do.
Yes, the majority.
I've never seen any statistics on it.
Well, the religions that do believe in it are the religions that make up more people in terms of, I mean, that Western thinking doesn't go along with it, but Eastern philosophies do believe in reincarnation.
Yes, yes.
There's more of them than there are of us, so that's the majority of the people in the world.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right about that. Now, why is quantum physics important to you, and why should it be important to me?
The main importance is just to really recognize that truly you will get what you focus on, so you can create your life to be the way you want it to be, and that you don't have to think about quantum physics, and you don't even have to understand quantum physics in order to make it work. You can just work on the different steps without understanding the science that's behind it. But the basic idea is that what you really focus on, you will get, as long as you have the things out of the way that would prevent you from having it.
Yeah. I mean, I want to pursue this idea of reincarnation just a little bit further, although I know that's not the subject you've really come onto this program to talk about. But
no.
Would it follow in that case that you set some energy pattern in being And if there was something you really wanted and focused on that didn't materialize in this life, would you have projected it into, say, a future life? Do you think that's possible?
I think it's possible, but it takes me really off my... Yes, I do think it's possible. It's not anything I talk about, for example, in my book or I work with people on. I think that sometimes there... I mean, everything depends on God, I believe, and so sometimes you want something that's really not going to be good for you. It's not really
right.
part of your plan. I do think we come into the world with a plan. And
yes.
so, for example, that little girl that you thought, okay, I'm going to marry her, maybe she wasn't going to be a good partner for you. So it doesn't happen. There's somebody else who's better for you, and that happens instead.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, it's sort of a co-creation situation where you're putting out, you're focusing in, you're putting your energy. You still get what you want, but the exact person might not be the same. You see what
yes.
I mean? You put all your energy all those years into having this relationship, and you would end up getting the relationship, but it wouldn't necessarily matter if the person had blonde hair or dark hair. You just want the experience of a good relationship, which you will get with your focus.
Yes, yes, I agree with you there. Now, a lot of people would immediately think rather materialistically about this subject and want to know whether they could get rich through it.
Well, you can have anything you want, and if having a lot of money is really important and you really want to focus on it, I mean, you know people whose lives are all about money.
Yes.
You know, where they're the people who are working on the stock market and they get up at 5 in the morning and they're making trading and, they have a lot of money, but it might be to exclusion for some people of other things. So you want to have everything in balance. I mean, money isn't everything.
No, that's true.
You can certainly increase your success level if it's really what your main goal in life is to have a lot of money and you really focus on it to the exclusion of other things. Then yes, I'm certain it would work. Certainly, people I've worked with have become more successful. Nobody has made their life about money that I've ever worked with. Nobody has ever made such a focus that they just were. You know, put all their energy into money because really that doesn't give you much. I mean, you want to have relationships
right.
and you want to have fun and just money. It's like no big deal. You have it in the bank and then what do you do? You know, once you buy a lot of nice things, then what do you do? You know, so it's not really a very meaningful goal or a substantial goal. Now, if you're struggling, yes, you don't want to struggle anymore. But you don't want to have necessarily a certain big amount of money because that isn't going to necessarily bring you joy in your life or fulfillment.
Yes. I can understand that focusing on what you want does work, for example, with self-healing, and I think there's a lot of evidence on that. If you visualize yourself whole, eventually you affect changes within your body. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, and one of the things that your listeners need to remember is when you are making affirmations and you're saying what you want to use is the I think it's the present part of or present I forget the term but it's the gerund maybe it's the ing term. If you want to say I am becoming healthier, you don't want to say I am healthy because if you say I am healthy. Your subconscious mind, which is extremely literal, will think that you will think, okay, this is what they call health. Okay, that's fine. They've got it. So you don't want to say, I am healthy. You want to say, I am becoming healthier.
Right, yes.
So
yes,
your subconscious, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but your subconscious will understand that you want to keep going in this direction, that we're heading in this direction, we're going to get healthier and healthier and healthier. I mean, and you can't be too healthy, so you can just keep saying, I'm getting healthier. But you don't want to say, I already am healthy. And I know a lot of people use that. They say, I am wealthy and all that, but you're not. So you don't want you're giving a mixed message to the subconscious, and that won't help you.
Mm. Yes, I can understand the point you've made there. That certainly does make good sense. Let's carry this idea, say, on a subject that does occupy a lot of people, that is their sex life. Now, I find there immediately a certain difference. difficulty because we are presumably looking at two people that are involved in this issue. That's maybe a little bit like the person who sets their eyes on someone else, as we discussed earlier, who, when they say they're going to marry them. Does it not become more difficult when you've got another person involved?
Well, it's it can be difficult, but it doesn't have to be difficult. First of all, in terms of someone's sex life, you want to be communicating with your partner to see where there are differences and where there are similarities, so you can, you know, and you want to say how you would like things to be. So it's sex is about communicating. So you're communicating with somebody, so that is the other person. But you can certainly, on your own, visualize that things are moving, that things are working better, that you're having a better communication across the board, including your sex life. And whether the other person visualizes it or not, things will improve. I mean, each person doesn't have to, but if you're both doing it, then it works even better.
That is the secret, indeed, isn't it, for two of you to work together.
If you're having sex by yourself, you don't need to have that's something else. But I mean, if you have a partner and you're wanting to improve your sex life, then you certainly want to talk to them about it and work, you know, see what's going on so you can explore and see what each of your expectations are and talk about, you know, try to talk as honestly and openly as you can and then work together as a goal, because obviously you both want to have a nice time. If you're in love with somebody and you want your sex life to express that, then you want to work together, you know, and give yourself some time and visualize the same kind of things where you're really harmonious and things are really working the way you want them to.
Yes. I don't want to bring in any negative thoughts into the program, but in your experience, have you ever found any quantum principles that have failed?
That are failed, that don't work, you mean?
Yes.
Well, the quantum principles always work because they're proven time and time again. They've done all these experiments. But sometimes your programming, your ideas don't work, and it's not the quantum principles, it's you. As I mentioned, a belief in the way, or your self-image is another thing that would prevent you in a different way from having what you want. If your self-image is a person, for example, you talked about money before, a person who is really coming from a very scarce place, watching their money at all times and really thinking, oh gosh, should I get this? And I better get this, the thing that's a couple pennies cheaper. And, you know, always focusing in that way. Then if that person, for example, won a lot of money or something, and if they didn't change that image and that attitude, they would lose all the money. Even if you hand them a bunch of money, they would lose it because they don't have the right image, and the image will bounce it out because it won't hold it. So you have, that's another thing that you want to change. So the quantum principles are there and they are proven. It's been almost 100 years and they always are consistent, but it's people and their subconscious that follow it up so that it doesn't always work.
So is the answer generally that to make this magic work, I have to have a very strong focus on what I want, or is there anything else that you could add to that?
Well, there are a number of steps. I mean, first you want to clear away what's in the way, because there's a reason why you don't have it already. As soon as you decide you want it, you know, in theory you should be able to just manifest at that moment, and it doesn't really work that way. So that you have all these subconscious messages that are in the way about your getting it. So you want to work with those and get those out of the way, neutralize those, and turn them around so that they are in alignment with what you want. And then you're going to slowly, step by step, go through a process whereby you're going to start visualizing and experiencing what it would be like in your mind, and really with your heart, so that you can feel what it feels like to have it. And then I don't know, do your listeners all use visualization already, where you're going to have a mental idea, a mental picture of what it is you want, but the picture part is not as important as the feeling part. So even if you can't see something when you visualize, as long as you can feel just pretend, really, that you have it. Pretend that you've got the new job already and how excited you're going to be. That,
yes,
that is part of what's going to make it real in your life, because that's your way of focusing so that it will materialize.
Yes. I should imagine that quite a number of our listeners are quite understanding of the idea of visualization, because I think if the truth is known, they probably regularly get into types of meditation. So I think they understand what you're talking about there.
Okay, good.
Now, I'm going to ask you what ought to be a very difficult question to answer, unless there's a short sort of no, you can't. But can you use the secrets of quantum physics to change something that's already happened in life?
You absolutely can, and this is one of the very odd things about the quantum. In the quantum, time moves backwards and forwards. The little particles move backwards and forwards in time, all and do so continuously. And what that means is that there's a very complicated experiment, only complicated because it's the experiment I talked about before, where if you don't observe it, it's a wave, and if you do observe it, it's a particle. Well, they can take it apart and set up a way to determine after the one little electron has gone through and decided whether it's going to be a wave or a particle, if you observe it even after the fact, it's always a particle. So it changes after the fact. And what that means in our lives is, you know, for example, you're told no for something. I had a woman who was trying to get a scholarship, and she was told no, she didn't get it after she was waiting and waiting. And she met with the people who were determining the scholarships because she felt so certain that she should have it. Now, you could say, well, she convinced them to give her the scholarship, which she then ultimately did get. And, yes, that's true. But also, she just had no room in her, there was no room in her consciousness at all for not getting it, because this was going to be her way to graduate from college and move on in her life. And she was so certain, so incredibly certain that she needed to have that money and that she was supposed to have it. And so it worked out. And I think, you know, so if you've been told no, you don't have to let it go that moment. You can think, no, let me work on this and really focus on it, and then you can go back and the answer can be yes.
Right. So just following on that, do you believe that the past creates the present?
No, absolutely not. I believe that the present is here, and that the future is influencing our present, but the past is just really... first of all, the past has to do with your memories. If the past is over, except you can go back and change it if you need to heal things in it. But memory is a creative process, and it's happening right now. So your memory can, you know, you can just change it. It's gone in one way, and another way it's still alive because you keep it alive, so you can just change it. So it's not creating who you are. You are creating who you are. You are deciding right this moment who you want to be at every moment. So it has nothing to do with if you had a bad childhood or you've done things that you wish you hadn't done. You can just drop that. Just let it go and focus on what you do want, how you want to be now and who you want to be and how you want your life to be, and you can move forward.
Yes, right. Now, there's sort of two points here that may on the face of it seem contradictory, but I'd like you to clarify how we can work these together. Say you have someone that hasn't got much time who wants something to change very quickly, and yet they may understand that change is instantaneous and that time is not a part of that equation. So how would they work that together to get what they wanted, say, quickly? I mean, can they do that? Can they hasten it or speed it up somehow?
Yes. I mean, yes, because, you know, it's what you're creating. So if it's important that you have this whatever by a certain date, then you want to include that in your visualization. For example, in the subconscious mind that you're working with here, likes symbols. That's the language of the subconscious mind. So you want to use, rather than just a date on the calendar, like the 30th of something, you know, that doesn't really mean anything. It's better to pick a holiday or some kind of a meaningful time that would make it special. Or you could say by Sunday or something like that if it has to be that short. But, and if it's today's Friday, Sunday would be really quick if you're trying to, that's really fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you could say, for example, you know, by Halloween or by my birthday or by so-and-so's birthday or by some special time that has a little bit more meaning than just a calendar date. I mean,
yeah,
the calendar
yeah.
date will work, but it's not as meaningful, and the symbol of a holiday or something would work better. But you're going to include that time in what you want. So when you see your do your visualization and you experience having what you want, and say it's a job and you need it by, you know, 2 weeks from now, and you know, there is a holiday there, or your mother's birthday or something is there, so you can say that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you want to include that in your picture, so you want to picture yourself on your mother's birthday saying, oh, I'm so glad I got this job, you know, and feeling that and tie it in with the date so that the subconscious will know, and that helps you focus, so it will be there when you want it.
Yeah, that certainly makes good sense. So time as we understand it and use it here is not really a factor in this, because presumably as soon as we think something, it's really there, isn't it? It is,
yes.
I mean, because we think it there.
Yes, it's just not manifested on this plane yet, but it is. You've already created it. As soon as you have the thought, you've already created the thing you want, and then it's a matter of focusing it into reality.
Mm. What about people who hear about this idea but believe that you can only, to use the expression, play the cards you're dealt with?
Well, you're actually creating the cards yourself, so that's really not true. It's true in the card game. I mean, in a card game, yeah, you can't. I guess if you were really great at this, you could change the cards to be something else. But I don't do that. So if you're playing cards, you do of course play the hand you're dealt. But in life, that's not true at all, because you can change it if you have. No, and we know, so we see so many examples of this, Mike, in our world, where people came from a really deprived childhood, or they had abuse, or they had no money, and they were really battered, and they became successful, wonderful, loving adults anyway. So you don't have to have anything that was handed to you originally, what you came into this world with. You can change it. You can be something completely different. And it's all up to you. It's really all the decisions, all the choices reside within you, and it's up to you to make a choice. I mean, that's what happened. Then you can just put those cards down and play a different game.
Mm. So you're saying it certainly isn't cast in stone, and it's really up to us. Now,
it's completely flexible. It's malleable. It's like clay. It's cast in clay, so you can just change it into a new shape.
Yes, right. Now, something that a lot of our listeners will connect with, because it's been given a lot of publicity over the last year at least, how do your ideas fit in with the movies What the Bleep and The Secret?
Well, my ideas fit in with What the Bleep pretty carefully, because What the Bleep does talk about the quantum, and it does talk about some of the quantum ideas. They use a metaphorical way to explain things. So there was, I don't know if your listeners remember, but Marley Matlin, there was the whole sequence with Marley Matlin, and things were told in a very metaphorical way.
Mm-hmm.
My way is very nuts and bolts. So, because I think some people need to, I mean, I know for me, I want to know exactly, okay, I get a vague idea of what I'm supposed to do, but I want to know exactly what do I need to do, what step do I need to take to change this in my life. And so I wanted to really explain to people, and when I work with them, this is what I do, and certainly in my book too, explain exactly how it works and how it ties together. And then with The Secret, as I mentioned earlier, the secret is about really about visualizing, but you want to have the right foundation to visualize. As I mentioned, if you have a subconscious idea, belief, or feeling, or whatever that is in the way, you won't get it, and it'll be frustrating, and you won't understand why. You'll think, okay, I'm following the principles, but it's not working. Why is that? So what I like to do is work with people. We go through the whole process, and then if it doesn't happen, I address that. I want to talk to, okay, if it doesn't happen, here's what to do also. To go back, you go back and rework and try some different methods. Ultimately, if it still doesn't work, then you might want to look at maybe there's a reason why this isn't right for me, but we kind of go through the whole gamut of it.
If I may say so, as purely a personal opinion, when I saw The Secret, I tended to feel there seemed to be too much emphasis on using it to obtain money. And I rather felt they didn't give as much time to the idea of achieving perhaps higher levels of spiritual understanding and things of that nature. Would you have gotten that impression, as you recall?
You know, I saw the movie after, when my book was actually in production. It was being printed for distribution when I saw the movie. And I thought it was really a wonderful movie to get into the mainstream of population, the idea that you can visualize and it works. I don't really remember all the details. I know that there was a lot of emphasis on money, and I think people in our world, especially here, I mean, there is an emphasis on money. So, and people need, you need money, and certainly now with the gas prices so high, everybody needs, I mean, you really have to have money. So it's one of those things that you have to have in order to function. And unless you're going to be a monk somewhere and just sit in a cave with robes on and really not eat, you're going to need money.
Absolutely.
No matter where you are. And in your spiritual growth, I mean, as spiritual a person as I am, I need money. I've got to put gas in my car and I've got to get food. So, I mean, we do need money. And money itself is not good or bad. It's just a way of, it's a commodity, it's a way of exchanging so we can have what we need. So, but it's not the communist idea of, you know, you only have to have as much as you need. No, you want to buy something fun and you want to be able to have a good time. So we need money, but I don't think we need to have, it be such a strong focus as I was talking about before. Somebody who is just focus on money, that's not going to be a very interesting person. You're not going to want to invite them to dinner because they're just going to talk about money. That's boring.
Yeah,
you know, that would be boring. I mean, I don't want to hear about that. When somebody talk about their deals and how much money they have, it's like, who cares? You know, it's more about, I mean, and that's important for people to do, is also think about what are your priorities in life. You know, what is really important to you? And money is one of those things that you think of it, it's kind of like food or something. You have to have a certain amount in order to have an okay life, but it doesn't have to be so meaningful. Now, people who are hurting and need more money, yes, you can use these secrets to get more money, but you don't want that to be so important, because if you truly believe that money is everything, what happens to people like that is something can happen that would be show them that they were wrong. Such as, you know, there are some diseases that people have, it's very sad, but they can have all the money in the world and, you know, it won't help them. So you don't want to put so much emphasis on money that it becomes so important, because you want to put emphasis on all the other things in life that are meaningful. You know, being a good person, being a spiritual person and having principles of harming no one and having principles of honesty and being your genuine self, and then having joy in your life, having your preferences of, you know, people that you love and your animals or whatever, you know, and having the daily experience of appreciating all that we have, feeling gratitude for the beautiful sky and the mountains and the trees and all the people. You know, that's more about, to me, and, you know, I don't want to put my ideas onto everybody else, but for me, those are the things that life's about.
Yeah. Maybe people should imagine what they will think about their life when it comes to an end, when they say, what have I done with my life?
I think that's really important, and I think one of the things that, you know, when you hear stories about what people were thinking when they died, you know, nobody was thinking, I've never heard a single story about anybody who's thinking about money, thinking about work. They're not thinking about any of those things. They're thinking about the people they loved.
Yeah,
when you hear about people who got to speak to somebody before they died or something, they're not talking about, okay, there's a folder on my desk, go make sure that gets turned in. No, they're not going to think about that. Or they're not going to think, okay, let's talk about how much money I have. No, they're going to talk about love, the poor people they love.
Indeed.
So when you know that and you live your life that way, that you know that love is the most important thing and you're living your life that way, that's what you're focusing on, you're going to have a lot of love.
I totally agree. Now, can we peer into your life, if it's permissible? How have you used the secrets of quantum physics to help yourself? And what results have you had?
Well, I've had some really good results, and I've actually been doing this for so long that on one interview, the man asked me what was the most dramatic result, and I thought, oh my gosh, I have to sit here and think about it for half an hour. As I have so many, I operate this way all the time, so I don't really think much of it. But I did have one story that happened a few months ago. My foot was hurting, and I went to the doctor and found out that from a previous surgery where they had put screws in my foot, one of the screws had broken and caused a break inside the bone. They call it a non-union fracture, and it's a break that's inside the bone. And the bone, once it's healed, doesn't know to heal again. It's not like a cut on your hand where the skin will heal. The bone won't heal again. So you have to stimulate it electronically with what they call a growth stimulator that will stimulate the bone to heal. Well, so my doctor told me that the insurance wasn't going to cover the cost of this, and it was $1,800, which is, you know, a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot for something, you know, $1,800 and you get something good and it looks great, that's one thing. But $1,800 when it won't even show, you're just going to have a normal foot, that just seemed like a waste of money. When he told me that, I said, no, I'm not. In my head, I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But I knew my foot would get better. And what I did was visualize my bone being healed. And I wasn't really sure how it was supposed to look. So I just pictured it almost like China, you know, just completely like a beautiful piece of porcelain or something, just completely healed, all smooth, and all the bone all together.
Yeah.
And so it was, I believe it was actually 2 days later, I was visiting a friend and I was wearing the convalescent boot that I had to wear again to keep the pressure off my foot. And when I visited her, she said, okay, what's going on with you? And I told her. And she said, oh, I have one of those bone growth stimulators from when I had my neck surgery last year. You can have mine. Just
amazing,
like that.
Yeah.
Like that. It was free. My foot is all better now. Everything was fine. And I know, now people could think that looks like a coincidence, which really brings up a good point. It will always look like a coincidence. You will never be able to prove that you visualized it and it came true, because you can't prove what you were thinking. I can tell you the story and tell you I visualized this, but I can't prove it. You don't know what I was thinking. So you can't scientifically prove that what I'm saying is true, because we can never, and I think it's a really good thing that we can't look into somebody's brain and see what they're thinking.
I think
that's great. We don't want to do that. But because of that, go to the scientists and show them proof that that visualization works, because you can't prove it. But you know. I don't know if you see Jeopardy, the show Jeopardy there. I don't know if you watch that show, but with Jeopardy, it's like when you're watching that show or any kind of game show with your family on TV, and when the answer comes on, you say to your family, I knew that answer. Well,
yes.
Your family doesn't really know if you knew the answer or not, and they either believe you or they don't, but you know.
Yes.
You know whether you knew it or not. And that's really the thing. This is about you, and you'll know. Like, I know, I actually know that I created that whole foot thing because I know what I was thinking, and I know what happened, and I knew it was 2 days later, and I mean, I know I did that. It's my experience that I did that. But if I can't prove to somebody else, that's not really important. And it doesn't matter if you can prove to someone else that you visualized this perfect job and then you got it. Who cares? The point is, you got it.
Yeah,
that's the important part. And, you know, you can just be enthusiastic and tell your friends, hey, this works, and they can try it themselves. But it'll always look like a coincidence. And I really want to stress that to people so they understand, you know, it's not something that you can put down on paper and prove. It's always going to look like a coincidence, but it will work.
Yes. Now, I believe we may have already touched upon this, but I understand that you have explored how we can heal issues from our past and avoid self-sabotage. And we have touched upon the fact that you can make changes in relationships. But is there anything more you wish to talk about in connection with healing issues from our past?
Yes. You know, if you're aware of issues from your past, and sometimes people know of an incident that happened that is really scarring them now. They just can't seem to get past it. Somebody said something to them when they were little or whatever, or even now, that is really bothering. They can't move past it. One technique you can do is go to a meditation, go back to that moment when that incident was happening, and when the person says that negative thing to you, you put your hand up and stop them and tell them the impact this is having. Let's just say if it was something when you were young, for example, and you remember your dad said something to you that really, it's still echoing, you know, 20 years later in your head, then you say, Dad, don't say that to me. That's going to really scar my life. That's going to cause me, you don't really mean this. You know, you don't think I won't amount to anything. You're just saying this right now because you're angry. This isn't the right thing to say to me. Take it back. You know, and visualize him saying, oh, well, I don't mean that. I just meant that, you know, I wish you succeeded better. Whatever. You make up something. And then you make that real in your life, and you just focus. You decide that this is going to be real, and now that is gone. So then you live your life as though that's not there anymore. And it takes a little bit of pretending. You really want to extend your visualization even to your waking hours to say, okay, now that's not in my way anymore. So now I'm going to make a new choice of how I'm going to be. So does that make sense? Did I explain that clearly?
Yes. I certainly understand, yeah. I would imagine every person has memories of that nature that perhaps give them some pain or hurt their feelings when they recall it.
Yeah, so you want to change those and neutralize it. Also, it's really important if you don't know the scene or you don't know what the source of the idea is, you know, you just know that you kind of grew up always thinking you weren't going to succeed. You don't have to know the particular moment when that happened, because everything that you've been exposed to in your entire life is in your subconscious mind. So things from before you could even speak, somebody walked in, looked at you as a baby and said, oh, he'll never amount to anything. That's in your subconscious mind. But you wouldn't be able to remember it. So it's not important if you don't remember why. The important thing is to change what's there. And you can recognize what your subconscious message is by looking at your life. And if you're somebody who just never quite makes it, you've got a message in there that says you're never going to quite make it. So you want to change that.
Yes.
You want to change that so that you can make it. And when you do that, you'll start to see a different result. And as you start to see it, then you're going to believe that more and more, and it's going to become much stronger in your life.
Yes. Now, if you take, say, an issue that might exist, say, at the moment, say, with the U.S. government, where you've got possibly millions of people that are very much against the war in the Middle East, And in their consciousness, they are wishing and visualizing peace. Would that power of manifestation increase exponentially simply because there were many people with a similar type of thought?
I absolutely do believe that that's true, and I think, you know, my generation, we had the Vietnam War, and I'm a baby boomer, and we were out there protesting and visualizing, because that's part of, I mean, prayer, visualization, protesting, you know, any kind of focus like that, they're all the same, it's all the same, really. It's you're calling it by different names, but your energy is about, we want peace, we want peace, we want peace.
Yeah.
You know, it works. I mean, it doesn't always happen overnight, but it does. And every positive thought you have helps the world in some way. You know, you having a loving thought with your partner, that's putting positive energy into the world. So, you know, we can't have too much of that.
Indeed, yes. Now, we're having a terrifically interesting interview here, and you're full of interesting information, and we are reaching the latter part of the program now, and I want to give you time just to talk briefly about your book and tell our listeners where they can obtain it from, and perhaps you would like to mention your website which they may wish to visit.
Oh, sure. Thank you very much, Mike. Well, the book is called 5 Steps to a Quantum Life, How to Use the Astounding Secrets of Quantum Physics to Create the Life You Want. It's available through the website, which is www.aquantumlife.com. Don't forget the aquantumlife.com. And also, wherever books are sold, it's through Amazon, through barnesandnoble.com, and Borders. Everywhere that books are, they can carry the book. So it's all over the place.
Yes. So if I was to ask you, where can I learn more about how to use quantum magic to create the life I want, you would presumably recommend I purchase your book.
I would.
I
wrote a book about it, and it's really easy to read, and people are really liking it, and it's helping people, so that was my point of writing it. So, yeah,
yeah.
That's exactly what I would say. Well, here's a nice book about it, so, yeah.
Did you visualize it becoming a great success?
Of course I did.
No,
I use these principles all the time myself, and I wouldn't write a book about success and not have it be successful. That wouldn't be
right.
I really see myself as a role model in this situation. I'm, you know, my one of my people asked me, okay, well, do you have a quantum life? And yes, I do. A quantum life, by the way, is not perfect, because we're people, and their perfection is not available in people. But it's a life where when things happen, you have tools to deal with it, such as my story about the foot thing. You know, when something happens, I know what to do. I immediately am visualizing whatever is going on. And it's a way that I can arrive on time even when I left late. And I can, even if the traffic seems slow, I can visualize being there on time and do so. I can make sure that I can get parking close by where I need to go. You know, so I use it all the time.
Yes. So it really, I think your message would be that we have to learn to control and be in charge of our thoughts and focus them on exactly what we want.
Well, I don't like to use the word control too much, Mike, because it sounds like then you might make a mistake. It's just that when we focus, the more you can focus on what you want, the more likely it is to happen. I guess that's the best way to see it. You don't have to be in control of your thoughts all the time, because that's really a difficult task. So that you want to focus, just keep thinking positive thoughts whenever you can about what you want, and keep feeling it.
Yes, that's fine. I'm going to have to close now, but I'll just mention that what I was thinking of there is that probably the majority of people just spend their daydreaming rather than thinking about what they need or want out of life.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe control isn't the word. But anyway, I do have to stop you now. It's been an excellent interview.
I've got
about a minute left before the program closes for me to introduce my guests for next week. So thank you very, very much for coming on to the program. And I will put some of this information in the archive report that will be on BBS Radio's site. So your website will be on there in case anybody's missed it.
Thank you so much. Thank you
very much for being with me.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Right, so a few minutes left here to announce that next week I have Elaine Thompson. She was due a couple of weeks ago when the program had to be cancelled. So she'll be back next week. The main point of her being here will be to discuss her new book, Voices from Our Galaxy, as a result of her contact with the Andromedans. She is also an excellent sound therapy healer, so I think that will be a very, very interesting program. So I hope you can be with me then, and I will thank you for being with me today. God bless you all.